Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, freedom and liberation. Before we start on our topic, I'd like to give some credit to Alice Bailey, the founder of the Lucis Trust organization. Alice Bailey wrote 24 volumes of literature, and the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on Inner Sight comes from the works of Alice Bailey, as does the following thought: the goal of freedom is in reality the main incentive to tread the path of return. One of the most spiritually exciting things taking place in the world today is the use in every country of the word freedom. You know, the United States values freedom so highly. Has it really perfected it yet? I'm not sure that it has.
No, I think we're still in the process of working out what real freedom is, even not considering the spiritual ramifications, which we'll get into in our discussion, but even just a moral group conscious approach to freedom is not yet really clear in most people's minds. Who was it? Was it Lincoln who said one man's freedom stops where another man's rights begin? If he didn't say that, he should have. Somebody should have said that.
Good, yeah.
Maybe I made it up. But one man's freedom stops where another man's rights begin. I think that's the recognition that's not terribly clear to a lot of people today. They're mainly thinking about my freedom, my rights, my desire for liberation, my personal liberty. That's where so many people are stuck. And to move beyond that is our challenge. I think it's also a factor of the present times. We've talked a lot about the energies that are conditioning the present day. We know that there's a new age coming into being, and that this age is called the Age of Aquarius, which means the age of the world server, the age of the group conscious human being. But there's an interesting view that the esoteric study of astrology gives us, which is that every sign, every astrological sign, has its polar opposite, and that together they form a complete whole. And the opposite of Aquarius is Leo, which is the sign of the individual, the sign of the developing consciousness of being an entity, of being a self. And it's a very important part of spiritual development to know that I exist, I am a conscious identity. But I wonder sometimes whether this developing Aquarian energy of the New Age isn't making a last-ditch stand for the separated self that we see so prominently in the world today.
Yes, it would seem so, because there are so many cries out, cries for freedom, for, you know, my freedom in particular, and freedom to do this and that, and so We have gone to the extent where it becomes a license to do just about anything you want to do. And I think that's, we've gone to the extreme where we've lost sight of freedom. In fact, perhaps the whole idea of freedom has become more of a prison. We become imprisoned by our lack of depth of understanding of what true freedom is.
I think that's true. I think we're kind of stuck at that point where we need to break out of the present concept of freedom, which is too often only self-serving and creates problems for society and for every group, starting with the family, the classroom, the workplace, the office, the community. Coming back to Lincoln, that great Aquarian, he said that the world has never had a proper definition of the word liberty. He said we all declare ourselves as being for liberty, but we don't necessarily mean the same thing by that word. And for some, he said the word liberty may mean that each man can do as he pleases. And for others, it may mean that some men may do what they please and live off of the benefits of others. Well, he was speaking of a time when slavery was still a tremendous national problem. But even today, we can say that we are not yet moving beyond the concept of personal freedom, personal liberty, as much as we should. And there is a deeply spiritual implication to freedom that, in fact, recognizes, as you say, that it can be a kind of a prison house.
Yes, I think, according to the teachings of, you know, Alice Bailey books, that says that freedom is a state of mind and not a condition of being. It's more of how we think about freedom than that really matters. And I think what we're doing, what this country and what all countries in the world, all peoples of the world are just, I mean, the idea of freedom is coming more alive today than ever before, all over the world. And so I think we're trying to work out the an understanding of the depth of freedom and to learn the capacity for freedom, as it's been described in the books of Alice Bailey, the capacity for freedom in order to function effectively as we move forward in consciousness. Because as we leave the more material aspects of freedom behind, we develop a more deeper understanding of what freedom is in the spiritual sense. And that's a very different thing. But I think, you see, that's where the impulse to freedom is coming from. And so we're gradually having to work our way up through this physical process until we can understand that what freedom really is, in a more deeper understanding of freedom and liberation.
There are, I think, two aspects to the limiting understanding of freedom. One is that we don't see it in terms of the use of the will. We see it, I think, in terms of license, which is, I guess, the opposite of the will. It's permissive. We hear a lot about permissiveness in society today, and that really is how most people think of freedom and liberty, as permissiveness to do whatever they want. Well, that's rather dangerous, because sometimes what we want to do is not necessarily what we should do, even for our own personal well-being, to say nothing of our group relationships and our responsibilities. But it's freedom is equated with license, and it's also seen as the ultimate good, the ultimate goal, when in fact most people who are progressing spiritually in consciousness become more and more aware that they are becoming less free, in the sense that as one awakens spiritually, one begins to realize the need for obedience, for obligation, for duty, for the fulfillment of, to use a Sanskrit word, dharma. I don't just mean in terms of meeting others' expectations of us, but the duty we have to our soul, mm-hmm. who has incarnated for a purpose and to play a part in God's plan, not to have fun and spend a week at Cancun every 3 months, but to serve the plan, to fulfill some infinitesimally small role in the working out of the divine plan for our world. And when one begins to awaken to this, I think the walls of duty and discipline become more and more narrow. Does that sound too grim?
No, I think what's grim is the condition of freedom. What's ironic, I think, in this country, we are so freedom-loving and freedom-searching for freedom that we actually box ourselves in. We're less free today, I think, than we were, say, 100 years ago, because technology, you would think, would be a way of gaining freedom. And yet, we have all of these technical innovations that, and the gadgets that we carry around, but we have to protect them. So we have virus protectors on our computers and against hackers, and we have alarms on our cars and in our houses, and we're constantly worried about identity theft on our credit cards. And so the more material things that we have, the less free we are, I think, because we're constantly fearful of them being taken away from us.
That reminds me of a friend I had years ago who kept all his worldly belongings to the level where he could pack them in two suitcases. And this was in the days of, we were coming out of the 60s and the flower children consciousness, but it relates to what you're saying. The more stuff you own, the more it owns you. Materialism is a terribly imprisoning and stultifying condition to the soul. And yet people seek their liberation, their freedom, through material acquisitions. They've got it all wrong.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today, freedom and liberation. We have a special offer from Lucis Publishing Company today, and that's the book Serving Humanity. It's an Alice Bailey book, and Serving Humanity, it's an inspiring compilation of extracts that will help the reader's understanding of the true service, of true service, and why it's so important to spiritual development. So what you need to do is to send us a check or money order for $16 to Lucis Publishing. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And the special offer comes in the form of free shipping and handling. And in order to get it, you do have to mention that you heard about the offer on Inner Sight. So once again, that's a check or money order for $16 to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And also, in addition to that, you might be take note of this, and that is that the subject of today's Inner Sight program, Freedom and Liberation, you'll find a short section on freedom within that book, Serving Humanity. We also appreciate the donations that you've given to us in the past. We value your support, especially because that's what keeps us on the air, so please continue to do so. And if you want to make a donation, just send that donation to Lucis Trust. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And also, if you'd like a general package of information, or you'd like to make contact with us for one reason or another, you can do so by calling the toll-free number 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Our website is www.lucistrust.org, and you can find a lot of information about the Lucis Trust organization on the website, and a lot of people enjoy the radio shows that we have, a library of archived radio shows that they're so numerous, but you can key into a variety of Alice Bailey themes, And all you have to do is key into that website, www.lucistrust.org. WOR, by the way, keeps the current show. If you wake up some morning, some of you like to sleep late and you'd like to listen to the show, you can do so because WOR holds on to the show for about a week and a half after the current show has aired. So in order to get the WOR website and to listen to Inner Sight of the current show, you would key into the WOR website, www.WOR710.com. I was thinking about what both of you were saying about materialism, and I remember someone in the Flower Age, too, saying the same. He was a real flower child, and he had gone to college with me, and he was very much into taking off a term, getting back, and traveling. And then one day he said to me, well, I bought a couch, and he said, now I'm very unhappy because now instead of taking off to Europe with a knapsack on my back, I'll have to wonder about who's using the couch. What's happening to the couch?
It's a dog on it.
your story reminded me of that. I guess there is a certain restraint and a constriction to materialism. Yeah,
yes,
very much so.
You have to look after it, protect it, clean it.
Yeah,
it's a burden. Every householder knows that. I suppose that's why in Hinduism there are stages to life, and one progresses from the stage of householder to the stage of sannyasin, who is entirely free of family and worldly responsibilities and becomes a wandering mendicant. Well, that might not be the path everyone would take, but it's a recognition of the bondage of home and material responsibilities. So many people start the spiritual path looking for freedom. They want to liberate themselves from something, from the past, from their present condition. And that's deeply spiritual, that impulse to seek emancipation, liberty. The writings of Alice Bailey say that world events illustrate this quest of the human soul in four major events that have happened over the last 2,000 years. The major demonstration of liberation is the life of Christ, she said. And that might come as a surprise when we consider the fact that he was crucified. But in fact, that act of crucifixion and the rising from the dead and the demonstration that life continues is the ultimate demonstration of liberation, freedom from death, even from death, and the release of the spiritual self in the life of love and service, the total freedom that Christ demonstrated in love and service to others. Another more worldly aspect, she said, was the signing of the Magna Carta in Britain in 1215. That was the first real demonstration of the personal liberty and rights of an individual human being. That was a tremendous event. And out of it came the French Revolution and the American Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights, and that was followed by the Atlantic Charter and the Four Freedoms that Franklin Roosevelt had a hand in. A third event was the emancipation of the American slaves, and a fourth was the liberation of humanity from the forces of evil, really, in World War II. So we have seen this progression of the quest for liberty on a world scale, and now I think we're at a point where individuals have to learn to understand freedom in terms of responsibilities to the larger whole.
It's there are two kinds of freedom, I think. There's freedom to do things, to have freedom of speech and freedom of religion. And then there is the freedom from fear, you know, which is one of the four freedoms. Mm-hmm. Freedom from fear and freedom from, we should say freedom from the self, actually. There should be...
That's what starts people on the spiritual path, isn't
right.
it? Freedom
because
from the self.
It's recognizing that these glamours and these illusions that we carry around are actually imprisoning us more than need be. And if we ever to gain, set foot on the path of return, then we have to let go of these and recognize these imprisoning glamours that we have and to work to become free from them, because those are the ones that are holding us back and keeping us in this material realm. And so that's the real test for any disciple or anyone aspiring to set foot on the path.
There's the freedom, as you're describing it, the search for liberation from the self. But there's another interesting perspective on this same quest which Alice Bailey offers, and that is that the soul, our higher self, our perfect self, on its own level, is seeking the freedom to express itself fully in what are called the three worlds, the world of the mind, of the emotions, and the physical body. In other words, the freedom of the soul to express its quality perfectly through incarnation as a human being on earth. The soul is also looking for freedom and gradually refining its instrument, the personality, which most of us think of ourselves as, whittling it down, refining it, sending it down through friction and suffering into a dependable instrument that will be an expression of love and light, which are the qualities of the soul.
Mm. And I was reminded of when you mentioned earlier about your friend who narrowed his life down to two suitcases. Mm-hmm. What he was doing is kind of following the impulse for simplicity.
Mm.
And that's also one of the necessary steps along the path to aim for. That's kind of the goal, is simplicity in your life, and that will help you ease your way into the more higher regions of the path, because that's the quality of life on the path of return, is the simplicity, and to keep shedding and gaining control over your these material impulses rather than letting them control you.
Mm-hmm. And there we see again the need for discipline as a component of liberty. If you don't have discipline and will, you have simply license, and too much of that is what creates the problems in the world. You can imagine for my friend with the two suitcases what it was like to be his girlfriend. I remember she was a very nice person who wanted very much to have a home and marriage, but he was working out something else, I guess. I don't know what's happened to him. But I wonder if we're at a stage in this country where we are ready as a people to move forward into a new demonstration of freedom, because right now the government of the U.S. is so bent on bringing liberty, freedom, democracy, not only to our society, but to everybody. And it's curious, isn't it, that it's become such a driving issue. I wonder if humanity at this point, after the war and after decades of the end of colonialism and the end of the Soviet Union and other totalitarian empires, is ready for a new approach to freedom, because it is such an aspiration that we all see.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, I don't know if I should bring this up, but okay, I will. And this has to do with with our concept of the death penalty. I mean, we've this whole idea of punishment through execution of somebody as a way of punishing him or her, that if you think about it, putting a person to death really releases him. It releases that being from that physical body, and it's not really a punishment to that soul. It's really a release and a liberation and a more working its way into freedom. And I don't know if we understood the concept of the soul a little better and more clearer, then we might turn this whole idea of freedom around. Seems so it would be more punishment to keep the person in prison for the rest of his life rather than execute him.
I do think these are questions, the kind of thing you mentioned, that take a great deal of thought. I'm reading a book right now about a woman who had been a nun for 7 years and then left the convent. And she was talking about the training of her convent in the 1960s and the oppressive atmosphere that she felt nearly obliterated her sense of independent thought. But I think there was something necessary in that process, at least at that time, that required such a drastic disciplining and obedience. Some spiritual quality was worked out by the training that I guess has since been set aside since Vatican II. But many spiritual traditions do impose stringent measures on the aspirant. And we might find these offensive to the ego or even injurious to one's sense of well-being, but they are so consistently a part of the spiritual and religious traditions of the world that there must be a point to them. And in this day and age, we've really shrugged them off. Most people wouldn't stand for it, but we may find in the future that we return to a bit more emphasis on the need for discipline and obedience, but on a higher level, not to a human authority so much as to the authority of the soul. If we can hear that voice, that's where we really need to submit.
Right, because I agree for, 100% there. It's the one we should be listening to is the soul, that inner voice of the self, the higher self, not that little selfish self, but the higher self that is your true self, and it will guide you along the right path if you can really listen to it.
Alice Bailey said disciples are never entirely free agents. Each is held by a soul link to his fellow disciples. That means responsibilities and karmic relationships have to be recognized and worked out. They can't be ignored. It imposes an obedience that is a kind of discipline, but infinitely more rewarding to the soul than any amount of personal license.
Please take advantage of the special offer from Lucis Publishing Company. That's the book, Serving Humanity. And the special offer comes in the form of free shipping and handling. And especially interesting in regard to this show is it includes a short section on freedom within the book, Serving Humanity. What you need to do is send a check or a money order, $16, to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, that's Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And you've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.